Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, Emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, sitting behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. And it is from the show that's been voted number 3 on the top 15 podcasts on emotional intelligence by FeedSpot. And so I am excited that you are listening to one of the top shows right now. And I'm in the command center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I'm going to dig into the vault and get today's show so that what you've come for, you will have. So let me reach in right here and get today's show. There it is. I got it. And put it down right here. And now we can dive into today's show. And on today's show, we are going to talk about a very often used phrase or word that you probably have heard, and sometimes maybe is overused. But the question is, do we truly understand what it means when we use the word or the words employee engagement? So today we're going to talk about how to skyrocket employee engagement. And I want to share with you 6 proven methods that you can use to truly do that. Now, as I mentioned before, we hear a lot about this. But my question is, if I was to ask you, what does it mean when you hear the phrase employee engagement, what would your definition be? Now, here's the thing. I will share with you that there are a number of definitions are being thrown around, and also there is a confusion where some people think that employee engagement and job satisfaction, that they are similar or the same. They're not, and you'll see in a few moments what I mean by that. So before we get there, let me just say, if you are here for the first time, let me say thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And however you got here, it's not important per se how you got here. What's most important is that you are here. And I hope that you were referred by someone who have listened to this show, or you came across something that created an interest that you have come to listen. And so thank you for that. If you have been listening and this is your return, you know, you've come back to listen to another episode, let me just say thank you so very much. Because of you, why this show is as popular as it is and getting even more so popular by the minute. You know, we are almost in 60 countries as of this recording. So that is because people like you are listening and we're in your corner of the world. So thank you so very much. And let me quickly say that this show is being brought to you by Kingspire Communication. And Kingspire Communication is a leadership hub where we help leaders get better results through coaching, through training, and through the writing. So the most recent book that I have shared in the Kingspire Communication is The Emotelligent Leader, Succeed Where Others Failed, and you can get a copy of that on Amazon. So again, Kingspire Communication, and you can access and connect with us through kingsleygrant.com, K-I-N-G-S LeyGrant. That's where you can go and connect with us. And if you want like some training for your office, for your staff, for your leadership people, for your team, then you want to connect with us and do so through email, or there's a phone number also provided. And if you are following me on social media, you can do so at Kingsley Grant. All of that is a way to make it easier for you to connect with us. So thank you again for listening and for just taking the time to allow me to share that with you. Now, today we're going to get into one of those six proven methods. Now, as I said before, that sometimes people confuse job satisfaction, that a person, because they're satisfied in their job or with their job, means that they are engaged in the workplace. And they might not be. They don't necessarily go hand in hand. However, I find that people who are engaged are those who are pretty much satisfied with their job. So satisfaction is more about people feeling happy, right? And that this place that they're working in, the environment, they're enthused about that. And just, you know, it's a place where they can come and, you know, meet with their friends per se and just feel happy about what it is they're doing. They might be doing something that fits within their wheelhouse and they're happy about that. They might have relationships with people there who they are happy to see, and possibly romantic relationships that are occurring as a result of working together, and they're satisfied about that. That's a job satisfaction. Or it could be where the workload is not overbearing and they don't feel as stressed about their job and it pays well. And so they're satisfied with that. Now, all of that is job satisfaction, but it does not necessarily means that that person is engaged as they ought to be in their work. Now, you'll see when I give you the definitions now of what employee engagement is, right? Because really it has a sense of an employee's commitment to the company, to the organization, right? Or their positive behaviors that they are exhibiting, which reflects that they are more engaged within their workplace. Now, I want to share with you four different definitions, and I got these, and the link will be there if you want to see where I got these from. But these four different definitions, they kind of overlap, but it gives us a working idea of where we're going when we talk about the six proven methods that will help to skyrocket your employee engagement. So let me share those with you right now. Okay, so the first one is by, and these are basically all researchers or research companies that share their definition of employee engagement. And Quantum Workplace, this is what their definition is an employee engagement is a strength of the mental and emotional connection employees feel toward their places of work, right? So it's a mental and emotional connection they feel towards their places of work. Gallup, their definition that they're given is this: engaged employees as those who are involved in, enthusiastic about, and committed to their work and workplace. Okay? Again, is there involvement, who are involved in, enthusiastically involved in, and are committed to their work and workplace. Willis Towers Watson says engagement is employees' willingness and ability to contribute to the company's success. So their willingness to contribute to the company's success, that is what they decide or define as employee engagement. Aon Hewitt gives this other definition: is the level of an employee's psychological investment in their organization. So you can see that there are some key words that you're hearing here: commitment, You're hearing about their investment. You're hearing about their contribution, right? You hear about how involved they are and the enthusiasm behind that, and just their mental and emotional connection. So these are some keywords you're hearing in all of these, which I believe are necessary. They are important if there's going to be an engaged workplace or workforce. These are so necessary. As a matter of fact, when people are engaged, I want to share with you two case studies and to show you the importance of engagement. So at a beverage giant, Molson Coors, right? Coors that make Coors beers and other products from Coors. They found that when employees were highly engaged, they were five times less likely than non-engaged employees to have a safety incident, and seven times less likely to have a lost time safety incident. And by strengthening employee engagement, they found the company saved $1.7 million in safety costs in 1 year. $1.7 million in safety costs in 1 year. Just by strengthening the employee engagement in their setting. Another case study is the construction equipment maker, Caterpillar, right? That made those tractors, those heavy equipment. They were able to increase their employee engagement and in such a way that it resulted in $8.6 million annual savings, right? Decrease from attrition, absenteeism, and overtime. So what happened is that when they have more engagement, then they save money because they didn't have to pay out for, you know, absenteeism and attrition and overtime. So they saved all that money. And on top of that, they had a $2 million increase in profit plus a 34% increase in highly satisfied customers. So imagine all of that. And all of that came as a result of employees who were more engaged. So they have a more engaged employee-centric kind of setup. That is incredible, isn't it? Imagine that you had this kind of return in your workplace. Imagine that your people, your team were highly engaged. Now, how would that translate in your setting? Would it be more, would it be less absenteeism? Would it be a less need for overtime? Will it be a less incidents being reported, you know, and on and on. So imagine that being executed in your setting. Just take all this I've shared and I'm sharing and kind of put that in your setting and just imagine what difference it would make. So here's what happened. Most people, most executives, they already understand that employee engagement directly affects, right? They understand the direct correlation between engagement and the company's financial health and profitability. They understand that, right? Because they know that if they don't have an engaged employee or workforce, they're going to have lower productivity, lower profitability, right? So here's what Gallup also found. And this is really true. And you probably will say yes to this because you might be finding this to be true in your neighborhood per se. Your neighborhood meaning that your workplace setting. So it's not where you live, it's just where you hang out, your workplace, right? According to Gallup, just 33% of American workers are engaged by their jobs, right? That means 67%, so 67% of their workers are disengaged or highly or actively disengaged, right? So 52% say they're just showing up. Imagine that. You can see that, right? Where people just, they just show up for a paycheck. They're just there to do the bare minimum. That is what you're experiencing. That is what you want to be changed, right? That's what you want. And that's why when I said earlier that one of the work that I do and what I'm hoping that this is doing through the podcast is to get you better results. Better results. And that's what one of the training that I do through the Immortelligent Leadership Paradigm in leader, right? In how I redefine leadership. And if you get my book, The Immortelligent Leader, you will see what I'm talking about. But we have to then raise that. But how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you get people to become more engaged? Now, people have tried different things, right? Leaders, managers, owners have tried a number of things. And the question is, what have you tried? What are you trying? What have been tried in your setting? Now, sometimes what people have tried are, you know, intimidation. They've tried that. They've tried threats. They have tried shaming. They've tried, you know, just a number of other things that are more the aggressive manner, is more the heavy-fisted, heavy-handed manner. Now, in some places, that may work for a short time because the culture also dictates that. So I know that probably someone that's listening to me right now, you're in a culture where, you know, you don't have much of a say and you can't really go against what the culture is ingrained within the culture. And sometimes I see this in some culture, which it doesn't make it right. It's just how it happened to be, where people will do the heavy-handed, you know, approach, and they will kind of force people to produce, and they have no choice, right? And if the economy is really, really bad, people will go against their very gut. They don't feel it, but they're doing it because, hey, it's job security. So I get that. But for the most part, I'm speaking about where there is an opportunity to increase productivity and people engagement, and without doing the heavy-handed. And even in those settings, I believe that if a leader who's listening, for example, to this podcast, would try what I'm suggesting, and even though it may go against protocol, because it may go against what it is a culture is used to, it allows you to stand out even much more so. It allows you to carry the, you know, the label, or people will get to the reputation as the leader that people want to follow and want to work with, because you are doing something that is unheard of, right? It's unparalleled. And so you become the leader, as my book title is this, become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow you. I guarantee people will love you more and want to follow you more if you do these things I want to suggest in this episode. So you said, Kingsley, what are them the six proven methods, tried and tested, they're the drivers of employee engagement that have the greatest impact? So there are some things you can do that have impacts, but these are the ones that have the greatest impact. So here we go. Now, the first one, and this is according to Quantum Workplace, is a research firm, right, behind the best places to work. And so I'm sharing with you what they have found in their research, and I'm passing this on to you. But I'm going to kind of just add my own take with what they're sharing. The first one is this, that leaders who are committed to making the workplace a great place to work. So if you as a leader can make the environment a great place to work, a place where, you know, and in my book, I talk about a great place like it's safe. It's safe to share your thoughts, your opinion. It's safe to speak up. It's safe to kind of give a feedback when something is not working and not feel as if because you speak up, you're going to experience negative consequences. You know, I remember I was working in a setting, and what happened was I saw opportunities where I could actually help the organization become better. But I also saw things that were kind of not working, not, you know, how should I put it? We're just kind of not right. So I, you know, thought that it was a safe enough environment. So if I added my voice and speak and spoke up, that they would be appreciative. Oh, they would be so happy that I'm speaking up and speaking my mind and giving ideas. And, you know, that's why I thought the environment was such. I had that impression. But, you know, of course, you know, you probably know where I'm going with this. I was surprised that the more I spoke up, the more it seemed like people were kind of, people, especially leaders, those who were kind of in charge, were kind of distancing themselves from me. Because it's like, I'm not sure they felt intimidated, probably insecurity, which I, it could be also part of that factor in it. And so what happened is one small thing became a big thing. And I realized that this environment was not safe. I realized that this environment was not one that I feel safe in. So I would say that was where, and it really did, it really affected my engagement, where I just kind of went in and did what I had to do. And, you know, it's sadly so that if I saw something that could really probably hurt the organization without hurting people physically and so on, I, you know, and I don't say this with pride, but I get to the point where I actually didn't even care, because I'm thinking I may bring that up and make a suggestion and only have it kind of, you know, turn around and bite me in the butt. So I just, like, you know, left it alone. I left it alone. And that's why I came to that place where I left things alone. And I wonder how many people are doing that very thing. Have you done that? Do you know people who are doing that where they feel as if they've been burnt, or because they've spoken up and then they you know, the negative thing, it ricocheted back to them, and they are the ones who got hurt when they're trying to help. All they're doing is they're trying to help. And so it's not a safe thing. You know, I saw something recently on one of my social media, and I really don't know if this is how it's, if it's true, but I saw, you may have seen it, I'm not sure, but there was a person that was crossing the street in China, somebody's in China, and there was a one of those buggy-like vehicles, right? It's not a car. It's an open, it's like a pedestrian kind of a mover thing. And it was raining. This person had an umbrella crossing the street. And that, like a trolley-looking vehicle came and knocked the person over. I mean, actually, it's an accident. Knocked them over and kept on going. And the person was in the road, injured. Right, injured, laying there, the umbrella beside the person. And you would not believe what I just shook my head and I said in my response, can't be true. Cannot be. I mean, I said, are you serious? Because what happened was people were walking by, motorcyclists were just riding by, cars were coming, and they went around the person on the ground, and nobody stopped. Actually, two cars stopped and one person got out as if they were going to help this person, and they got back in the car and then drove by. And I'm thinking, come on. Then someone said that part of the culture is, or part of the understanding is, if you get to help the person and for whatever reason, that person could file a complaint against you who tried to help them. So people avoid that by just going by, just driving by and not offering assistance. Now, what happened is that the culture, if that's really how it is, and you can correct me if you know otherwise, but if that's how it is, then what it's simply saying is that that workplace, quote unquote, that's not a great place to function, because people know that if something happens, leave it alone. Someone is hurt, leave them be, because you could get in trouble and get the worst end of the stick by getting involved. So if you don't have a great place to work, an environment, you're not going to get people to be engaged. As I just shared with you, people were not engaged in trying to help this person simply because of the beliefs of what was in place, and they did not want to take the risk. For me, I didn't want to take the risk anymore by speaking up or saying anything more about what happened in my working environment, because I know that I was the one who things were kind of turned back on me, right? So I just kind of left it alone. So number one is when the driver or the proven method is when the leader, right, is committed to making it a great place. So it's an ongoing process, and it could be a culture where there is an opportunity to make mistakes and not be chewed out. And there's a number of things. If you go to my book, The Emotelligent Leader, I share in there how to create a safe culture. That is what will truly be a driver in up and skyrocketing employee engagement. Number two, trust in the leaders of the organization to set the right course. There's a trust factor. This is huge when it comes to people engagement, when there's trust within that environment. Going back to my story, I can tell you one thing. When I had to go and speak to, because I was called in by my immediate coordinator, and who brought this whole matter to one of the vice presidents of the company, I'm thinking, are you serious? This one small thing that could be handled, you're going to take it to the vice president? And I think this person was, again, I mentioned, probably intimidated and insecure and wanted to somehow, I get it, you know, I'm not going to speculate here or assume things. The fact is, it was brought there. And one time I remember, because it happened about three times, and on the second time I began to think, you know, I truly don't know who to trust here anymore. I really don't know who to trust. And then the third time, I told both the vice president and this other person that, you know, I really don't trust you guys. I'm sorry. I really have a hard time. And eventually I left because I just said to them, I really don't trust you. I don't know who to trust. I don't know if what that may turn into, you know, a molehill or this gigantic thing out of a small thing. So when you as a leader, or when leaders can create, you know, a trusting environment where people feel not only safe, but they can trust the leaders, right? And that they're going to do the right thing. They're not going to show partiality. They're going to let one person fits everyone. They can trust the fact that they're going to be fairness and equal distribution of things. They have the trust that the leaders are going to do the right things, right? That is a huge part of why people would want to become more engaged, because they don't have to worry. That's one less thing they have to worry about. In this case, two less things they would have to worry about. Number three, the belief that the organization will be successful in the future. This is a hope. This is when there is a positive projection on the leaders, when that leader is able to project and communicate about the organization, what's happening, what they're working on, and what the projected goals, right? So this is where communication is so key, when you're able as a leader to share about what the organization is doing, where it's going, and how what the people are doing are going to lead to the success, right? You can show numbers. You can show, you know, like, for example, let me go back to where I, you know, I'm going to use probably this as an example for a number of what I'm sharing here. What was helpful for me, and I think was helpful for those of us who were working in this setting that I'm describing, was that every month we would get a report that would show where we were and how much money that we were making, right? Now, I've seen some, especially solopreneurs, right? Entrepreneurs who, just kind of doing some things different. They show what their income was for that month, what their expenses were, what their profit is as a result of what they made online, right? And so that projection is, if we keep on doing these things, we will continue to be successful. So when a company can be very transparent and share with their people what is happening in the organization and the plans in place to make it a successful one, they are more apt to give and, you know, put themselves behind, because they, you know, they don't feel as if it's a wasted effort. They don't feel as if they're going to do all this work and then the company collapse and they have no, they had no idea that was happening. You know, I was watching a movie recently, and this company where this guy was working, and there was a Ponzi scheme, but he didn't know. He was a CFO of the company, had no idea this company was running a Ponzi scheme right under his nose. Now, of course, he should have known because he is the CFO, right? Chief Financial Officer. And long story short is that when everything flopped and the company went under and they were coming after him, they realized he was set up, because he should have known. And he said, how come I missed this? How did I miss this, right? And so what happened was he failed to realize what was happening, and the company did not share everything with him. And so he did all this work only to find that it led to naught, it led to nothing. But not only that, but his neck was now on the line. So what happened, there's got to be clear transparency about the numbers, about the company, where it's going, what's happening. That is so critical. Now, some people believe if I share and they get that information, they might get greedy and want more money, and that's possible. But if they feel as if they're a part, which is number four, which I want to share with you now, they will be more willing because they have a buy-in, the company, and this is where you're going to help them to show how they fit in, which is number four. Understanding how they fit into the organization future plans. So how are you communicating where they are going to fit? Could it be that they might get an opportunity to expand, take part of the company to another location, if that's a possibility? Maybe it is that they get a new role, a position. Maybe they are, if they're leadership quality now, just don't promote them to leadership if they're not a leadership quality. And I don't mean this in a very negative way, because not everybody who performs at a lower level ought to be promoted, right? You've heard me mention this before, that promotion should not be based on tenure or a person, you know, tactical skills. It takes leadership skills, and not everyone have that. Now, they can develop those. They can be trained and taught, because leadership, I see, is as a skill set, right? A number of skill sets rather than a position, rather than a title. And so it can be developed. And you've heard the conversation or the argument about, are leaders born or are they nurtured, right? Are they is it nature or nurture, right? And I believe there's an element of both. But I believe nurturing is really the most important part of leadership. So they need to understand how they fit into the organization's blueprint or future plans. When they feel as if they're a part of something, they're not just a number, but you have included them, their opinion, their ideas, they're brought into early stage conversation and so on. They will have more of a buy-in, and that will create more of engagement because their ideas are being considered. People get behind their ideas much more so than someone else's idea, right? Because they want to make sure that that idea really was something that they truly believe would work. So they're going to work hard to prove the point, right? Number five. So let's kind of go quickly over the ones I've mentioned so far. Number one, the leaders of the organization are committed to making it a great place to work. The trust in the leaders of the organization to set the right course and do the right thing, number two. Number three, belief that the organization will be successful in the future. Number four, understanding of how they fit into the organization's future plans. Number five, the leaders of the organization value people as their most important resource. You should know by now, if you've been listening, now if you're here for the first time, you may not know this, but this is one of the points I drive home. You know, I mentioned that in my book, The Immortelligent Leader, that leaders who make this, where they let their people know they are valued, they are important, they matter, they're cared for. Those people who feel that way are more apt to really become more engaged, actively engaged in the organization. When they don't feel that way, actually, O.C. Tanner, which is another research group, they show that 79% of people who were asked why they left an organization, right? You've heard this before. People don't leave a company or an organization. They leave bad bosses, right? They leave bad bosses, not organizations. So they ask the question, what's the number one reason why you quit or you resign, whatever methods they use? And the number one reason was this: they did not feel valued. Their work was not acknowledged. They were not made to feel important. So people need to know that you care. They don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. When they know that, they're more apt to throw themselves fully behind the work. That's number five. And number six, the organization makes investment to make employees more successful. That is people development. You know, I talk about it so often, and in my book, I have a chapter about how in one of the chapters, I talk about five domains of leaders ought to pay attention to in an employee's life. And I talk about I use PIERS as an acronym, P-I-E-R-S. And the five domains, I won't go in them, I'll just mention them here: physical, intellectual, emotional, relational, and spiritual. Those five domains must be addressed. When people are you're investing in them in those five domains, right? And you are allowing them to grow and develop mentally and emotionally and all those other areas I mentioned, when they feel as if you are making that a priority, you are checking in. You know, I talk about that in the book about feedback and about relationship. Leadership is relationship, and how you establish a relationship with your people, how they need to feel as if you are, you want to connect and build rapport with them. When they feel as if they're on the team, they're important, they're valued, they're acknowledged, you cannot believe how much they'll do for the company. Is it any wonder when I share with you those case studies where people, you know, these numbers at these two different companies, both the Coors and the Caterpillar, when I share that with you, is it any wonder they saw the increase in productivity, increase in profitability, but also a decrease in what would cost them over the long term? Why? Because they increased employee engagement. And this is how, my friend, if you want to skyrocket employee engagement, which in turn lead to higher productivity, higher retention of your best people, higher morale, right? Higher loyalty. If you want to see that become the goal, then you must do these things. You've got to find a way to factor them in. So let me kind of quickly go over then these six proven methods, tried and true, that will give you the greatest impact with your employees are these. The leaders of the organization, number one, as a leader, you are committed to making it a great place to work. Number two, trust that you as a leader are setting the right course and will do the right thing. Number three, that the company, the organization, will be successful create a belief in them that the organization will be successful in the future. Number four, let them understand how they fit within the organization's future goals. Where will they fit in the plans for the future? Number five, that they feel valued and that they are considered as the most important resource. And number six, that you make, as a leader, make investment in them to become more successful. Now, I know probably you are experiencing, because you are an organization or you represent a company like anybody else does, that I'm sure employee engagement would be, if someone did a study, they could probably find that Gallup, which did a very, very extensive study, yours would not be any different. The numbers may vary slightly, but you might be having what it is that 60, almost 70% of people are disengaged or actively disengaged. So imagine the cost factor. Imagine, actually, I think there was a, what they said, it's a almost $600 billion loss to companies because of this very thing, lack of engagement in their workplace. So you can see, and you probably have felt this and seen this and know what's costing you. But here's the good news. This can be turned around. This can be turned around. And you can have better results if you're able to do these things. So my friend, I hope today that this was helpful and that you are going to implement. Let me ask you to truly share this with someone else, someone who really, alongside yourself, who's also a decision maker, someone you know who needs to hear this so that they can do something about it. Share this and re-listen to it, okay? But also let me hear from you what your thoughts are on this. I know it was a bit lengthy today, but I believe you can see the value in why I took this time to go over this whole, because it's such an important part of what it is that needs to be done in the workplace. So again, thank you for listening. Share this. Leave me a rating and review on iTunes, which is on Apple Podcasts. Let me say that really quickly. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening, if there's a way to leave a rating or somehow to let me know that you are enjoying this show. But also on social media, especially LinkedIn. If you are on LinkedIn, connect with me at Kingsley Grant, KingsleySLEY. Connect with me, Grant. Connect with me. Enter the conversation. Share your feedback, your thoughts when I post these episodes in LinkedIn or elsewhere. That way I can know that you're benefiting, it's helping you. And maybe you have a question. And by the way, I want to share this with you. I've not done this before, but I think it's important that I start doing this. And I was thinking about this recently, and I don't know. I know this is not for if you're outside of the United States, this won't apply to you because this number only works within the United States. But you can actually just go online and interact with me on LinkedIn. I'm sorry. On social media. But here's a number you can call, 954-688-4905. 954-688-4905. And that way you can leave a voice recording, leave a question, and I'll try to get back to you on that. So my friend, we've come to the end of our episode here. It's a pretty lengthy one I mentioned before, so thank you for hanging in there. But before we go, remember this, you are one skill away for getting better results. And let us now put this show back into the vault. So here we go. Let's go. There it is. Now this show is safely tucked away into the vault at the Immortelligent Leadership Institute. And now I can exit the command center and then emerge, not emerge, but I can put myself back into the hustle and bustle of life. This was so good to be able to get away, give this to you, and then get back out there, right? See what I do for you. You deserve it. You deserve it anyway. I'll do this many more times over, as I will, because you're deserving of that. Well, my friend, we've come to the end of our episode here. So with that said, you know the drill. Peace out. God bless. And I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.